The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Bethlehem Primitive Baptist Church in Ocala, Alabama. To find out more information about Bethlehem Church, visit us online at bethlehempbc.org.
In the interest of time, I hope that you'll take my presence here tonight as a testimony for my love to each one of you and how dear I count this place and Zion Primitive Baptist Church as well. What a sweet privilege to be here. It's a great night, a great place to be with great folks worshiping a great God.
Amen.
So thankful for the things that we've heard. My heart's been greatly, greatly encouraged so that if nothing else is said, if nothing I have to say is of any profit to you, you've been sweetly and bountifully fed tonight, and I thank God for that. There are many other things I'd like to say by way of preliminary, but it just wouldn't be appropriate. But I love you all dearly. I want to read to you from the first chapter of the Gospel of John. First chapter of the Gospel of John. And before I begin reading, to save time, just very quickly, a little context. John the Baptist has just pointed to the Son of God. John the Baptist, who is to be the harbinger of the Lord Jesus Christ, he has just pointed to the Son of God and said, "Behold the Lamb of God." Now, in those days, if you wanted to sin, you didn't send your student. You didn't send your student to a university or to a college. In those days, if you wanted to educate your child well, you brought the teacher, the university, in the form of a very learned individual, you brought them to where your student was. And or one or two or three, maybe, students would attach themselves to a singular teacher. But, you know, as we know, universities and colleges, they did not exist then. So students attached themselves to teachers. And so there were spiritual teachers. And they would have several students around them. John the Baptist was one of those. And there were students who were attached to them. The scripture records us. History tells us about some of those. Andrew, who was Simon's brother, he was one of John's students. Nathaniel was a student. Philip believed what John had to say. He was greatly impacted. All of these young men, Andrew and Simon and Philip and Nathaniel, they were all from the same city in Galilee, Bethsaida. And we know Philip really, he gets excited whenever John the Baptist points out, "Behold the Lamb of God." And so we find him now in verse 43. The day following, Jesus would go forth unto Galilee, and he findeth Philip, and he saith unto him, "Follow me." This is after the experience with John the Baptist. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. And Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, if you can imagine this, they've all been looking. This is what these students have been studying. It's what the Jewish students of the day were looking for. They have been studying how they could properly identify the Messiah, the one that would answer the great questions of their time. They were confused. Let me say this. The young Israelites of their day, they were very perplexed. They had great questions in their day. One of the great questions was about the Roman issue. But if we are God's people, and if God is our king, then why does Caesar have the heel of his boot on top of us? They were perplexed. They didn't understand. And why does the Messiah tarry? When are we going to be released from this cruel Roman bondage? And when will Israel, when will our nation, as is promised in Old Testament prophecies, gain ascendancy again? When will we become the premier political national power on the face of the earth? God fulfill his promises to us. We know that it's going to happen when the Messiah comes, where our great warrior king will come. The great warrior king will come and he will raise armies of Israel, and we will thwart and defeat our foe, and salvation and deliverance will come from Jehovah as we nationalistic deliverance takes place. And so those were the questions they were at. And so Philip, he hears from Christ. And he believes. This is him. This is him. And here's what he says to Nathanael. We have found him. It's impossible for me to explain to you the excitement that took place here. I can't get that across to you. The kind of joy that would have been leaping out of the heart of Philip. And he finds Nathanael and he said, it's incredible. It's impossible. That's over the top. Unbelievable. What we have been for generations, what we've been praying for. We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write. Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. It doesn't sound like there's anything wrong with that, does there? We found him. If he had just left off the little of Nazareth part, that was a little complicating. And Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? And Philip saith unto him, come and see. And so at least he went to see. And Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith unto him, behold an Israelite in whom is no guile. That means he doesn't lay traps with his mouth. He says what he means and he means what he says. And we like those kind of people, don't we? We love those people who have no filters, correct? Do you know what that is? Somebody has no filters. I experienced one of them at a meeting about a year ago. I've been in the Old Baptist Church all my life for about 35 years now. No, 56 years. I've been in the Old Baptist Church all my... You know, that'll come to some of you about 9 o'clock tonight. About 56 years, I've been in the... All my life. And every once in a while, I go to a meeting and I haven't seen them for 30 years. This is what no filter looks like. And so about a year ago, I went to an Old Baptist meeting, and at the lunch table, a precious sister came up to me, so sweet. She's about 80 years old. She came up to me, and there were a lot of people sitting around, and I had not seen her for 30 years. My father used to be her pastor, and she said, little David, it's so good to see you. And then she looked right in front, and in front of all those people, she looked at me, she said, and oh, you're bald. And I grabbed my head and said, I'm what? That must have happened since I left the house today. They just have no filters. No guile. Nathanael saith unto him, whence knowest thou me? Because Jesus had made a statement that you're an Israelite who says what he means what he says. And Nathanael said, how do you know me? And Jesus says, before Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. And Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, the King of Israel. You are the Messiah. Because you knew about me under the fig tree. And Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. This narrative is about a skeptical student, and his name is Nathanael. And I thought as we were speaking, contemplating speaking tonight, and who would be here? I knew that there would be a lot of students here tonight. School is about to begin here, right? And there are a lot of young folks who are going back to school, some folks homeschool. All of you who, there are those of you who are sending your students to school, it's a happy time of the year. Amen. Right? Some of you are sent, are some, there are going to be some who go to university for the first time. In that, well, you know, really permanently go away to university for the first time. And that's a very sobering time for moms and dads. Going away, we're going to learn about the answers to the big questions of life. And I'm not concerned that there are any skeptical students here tonight. Not for one minute did I believe that I would speak to any skeptical students here tonight. But let me say this. You all are going to meet with some skeptical people because of their unbelief. You are. You're about to encounter them. And they are going to call in question the man, the God man, that you believe to be the Messiah. If you go to university, if you go to school, if you say, well, you know, thank the Lord, then I'm not going to university. All that's behind me. I'm 50 years of age. If you turn on your television, you're going to be met with the skepticism of those who do not believe. It is very in vogue. It is very cool today to question the reality of the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're the smart ones if you do it, right? You're the knowing ones if you do that. Popular culture today in America, let me say this, and I don't want to break anybody's heart, but America is a post-Christian nation. That's a fact. It is. We are. It is very, you're seen as very intellectual if you question whether Jesus Christ is the Savior of sinners. You're seen as being very smart. You're very in tune. And do you know the reason why? Because Jesus Christ today is still from Nazareth. He's still from Nazareth. What does that mean? Well, let me say this. It was a problem for Nathanael, and it's a problem for people today.
Right.
Don't be ashamed of Jesus.
Amen.
Because he's still from Nazareth.
Right.
So what does that mean? Well, let me say this. It's human nature. One of the ways that we feel good about ourselves is to look down upon others, right? That is. Flannery O'Connor, she wrote a great little short story. I recommend it to you. And if I could remember the name of it, I'm getting old. But her chief character in this work is a lady named Miss Turpin. And Miss Turpin, you know how Miss Turpin consoled herself, made herself feel good about herself? Every night she lay on her bed, just before she went to sleep, Miss Flannery went down a roll call of people she knew. And she counted all the people she knew, and there were some people she knew that she knew was better than she was. But what she really delighted in was when she got to that part of the list where she got to the people that she knew she was better than they are. And every night, Miss Turpin would think about all those. I'm better than her. I'm better than him. I'm better than her. I'm better. Yeah, I know that I'm not like these folks over here, but thank God I'm not like these folks over here. You see, in Jesus' day, Jerusalem was the elite place in Israel. In Palestine, all the folks in Jerusalem, it was the spiritual epicenter, the spiritual center of the globe. And if you were in Jerusalem, you were the elite. And the folks in Jerusalem looked down on the folks in Galilee. They were the Hicks and the Hayseeds from the north. They looked down on the folks from Galilee. We live in Baker County. We live in the country. And I remember going to university, in Gainesville and in Jacksonville, and getting there, and I have a little country twang. Where are you from? Baker County. And everybody starts snickering. And then I'd say, well, it could be worse. I could be from Baxter. You'd have to be there to understand that. But you all have a place like that. If you live, somebody picks at you from being from Pickens County. I texted Brother Tim and I said, who are the folks, whenever you get picked, who are the folks that you like to snicker about? Thank God we're not from there. And you know what he told me? I'm not telling you. I'm not. But he did. He told me someone. He did. I said, Pickens County High School, who are the folks that y'all like to write? Who is? If, we've all got, don't we? And see, the folks from Jerusalem, they, you know, oh, those Galileans, those Hicks and Hayseys. Well, who did the Galileans had to have somebody that they could tee off on so they could feel good about themselves. Well, we may be from Galilee, but thank God we're not from Nazareth. That is a fact. I saw a picture of Nazareth in the from the late 1800s. It was in the historian that I was reading behind. This has been a couple of years ago. I can't remember his name. And the historian I was reading behind, he said that Nazareth in that picture from the late 1800s looked just like it has for the past 2,000 years. And you know what it was? It was a dirty, nasty looking village. It was amazing. It was a dirty, nasty little village. The folks that lived in, think about this, the folks that lived in Nazareth were the people who were living on the fringes. That is, you were living on the margins of society if you lived in Nazareth. A dirty, nasty little village full of outcasts of who Joseph and Mary was. And Philip comes and finds Nathanael, and he says, Nathanael, I have found the Messiah. I have found the one that has the answer to all the great questions of life. And he's from Nazareth, and Nathanael says, no way. Not Nazareth. Let me say this. There were several palaces in Jerusalem. Jerusalem was an august city. It was one of the jewels of the earth. It was, before Roman destruction, AD 70. There was the palace of Herod. There was the palace of the Roman governor. And there was the palace of the high priest. Jesus, in my heart, the way I see the lovely Lamb of God, Jesus should have been born in one of those palaces. He had a right to be born in the palace of the high priest. He is the high priest. He had a right to be born in the palace of the governor. He is the governor. He had a right to be born in the palace of the king. He is the king. He had a right to live in all of those palaces. But he comes from Nazareth. And let me say, as a savior, if he's to be... The Messiah that the Jews were looking for would have come from one of those palaces. But the Savior that David Crawford needed, I needed him to come from Nazareth. Why is that? If I'm honest, I'm from Nazareth. Sin has pushed me to the fringes, to the margins. There's much to be said. I have to close right now. Sin has pushed me to the margins, to the fringes. By nature, I'm dirty. I'm filthy. And so my Savior had to become what I am. I remember what a poet said in a song many years ago, speaking about the birth of Jesus Christ. The poet said, "Today he makes his entrance here on earth, but not as other monarchs do." Has that ever amazed you? The crown prince of glory. And he grows up in a dirty city, a dirty village, not a city, a little village called Nazareth. He's exactly what Nathanael needed. He's an Israelite in whom is no God, but he's got a problem. He's got a problem. I love this. Behold, an Israelite in whom is no God. And how do you know that? How do you know that about me? He's not impressed. I mean, thank you for being... And then he says this. He says, I saw you when you were under the fig tree, Nathanael. That shook up Nathanael. That shook up Nathanael. It rocked Nathanael. Nathanael, the something of a snob... has just been corrected by the Lord Jesus Christ. He's been put to flight. When I saw you, when you were under the fig tree, What is it that could have rocked? And he was, let me say this, Nathaniel Morley was a fine, noble young man. I'm convinced of that. But he's a sinner just the same, in need of a Savior. The Savior looks at him and says, I saw you. What is it that could have turned his world upside down? What does it mean? He saw him under the, what does that mean that he was under the fig tree when the Savior saw him? I don't know. Nobody knows. Let me say this. I've heard a half a dozen old Baptist preachers say what it was. Every one of them's wrong. Nobody knows. Nathaniel knew.
Amen. That's right. Yeah.
Nathaniel knew. It was something very personal.
Amen.
It was something that troubled him greatly. And here it is. Let me say this. There's just not enough time. Jesus sees you all the way to the bottom.
Right.
Do you hear me? You can hide from me. You can get the drop on me. I'm an old high school principal. It's hard to get the drop on me, but you can get the drop on me. They did it every day at the Baker County High School. Jesus sees you all the way to the bottom. He saw Nathaniel all the way to the bottom, whatever took place at the fig tree. And yet, he's gentle with him, isn't he? Isn't he? He's not snobbish as Nathaniel was. Sees him all the way to the bottom, yet he's gentle. I remember what Isaiah said about the Messiah. A bruised reed will he not break. A smoking flax will he not quench. He sees me all the way to the bottom, and yet he's gentle with me. And good to me, and kind to me. And then Nathaniel says, you are the Son of God. You are the Messiah. And Jesus says, no, wait just a minute, Nathaniel. Because I showed a little omniscience, now you're ready to own me as the Messiah? No, you need more than omniscience from your Savior. There's something coming far greater than a display of my all-knowingness. What you need is not just my omniscience. What you need, you're going to see. You're going to see this. The angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. And here's what that is. I don't know what happened around the fig tree, but I can tell you what he's talking about there.
Amen.
What he is doing, he is explaining to us Jacob's vision. That's what it's a direct reference to. And do you remember what Jacob's vision was? When Jacob was an outcast, a fugitive and a vagabond, a throwaway. Running for his life, and he lays down that night in the middle of the desert, and he makes stones for his pillow. Let me tell you, when you wrestle with God, you're going to make a stony bed for yourself.
Right.
And that night, God comes in covenant form, makes himself known to Jacob, and Jacob sees a ladder extending from heaven down to earth. It's reaching all the way from earth up to heaven, right? And what does he see? The angels of God ascending and descending. What's a ladder? Well, it's a piece of equipment that allows you to reach unreachable places.
Amen.
And what Jesus is telling Nathaniel, what you need is not a warrior king. You need a Messiah that can come to where you are. And whether you like it or not, Nathaniel, you're from Nazareth just like I am. You need a Messiah. You need a Savior who can come to where. And where are you? Isaiah said we're all in the same place. He said in Isaiah 51, he said, remember the hole of the pit from whence you're digged.
Amen.
And Jesus Christ came way down to the lowest of the low sinner. I know he can reach anyone because he reached me. That ladder extended all the way to my helpless position. And Jesus Christ is the ladder. He is God's answer. He is the mechanism. His blessed cross is the means by which I can access heaven. And the blessings of God flow from heaven down to me. Angels of God attend. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister in the heirs of salvation? Do you know why heaven's blessings are coming into your life today? It's because of Jesus. It's because of his ladder, his cross work, his person. There was a slab a great slab between us and heaven, and the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ punched through it.
Amen.
Punched through it and reached all the way to the throne of God for us. And now today you and I are able to count on the blessings of God because Jesus is from Nazareth. Thank God he's from Nazareth. Let me conclude by saying this. It's already too late for me to be brief. I apologize. When I was a little boy, this is what Christ, being from Nazareth, has done for us. People living on the fringes, the outcast. When I was a little boy, I almost had a complex. Has anybody ever been left at church or by your parents in place of... The first time, I didn't pay any attention to it. About the third time, I started to get a little, you know, I'm going to have therapy. It was. You know, you'd wake up and nobody's in church. It's all dark. And then the headlights would come up and Dad come running back in, you know, at annual meeting. And they, about third. Well, this evening, and I used to get very worried. I was left at the hospital this evening. I went on hospital visitation with Dad. I was about 68, somewhere in there. And they had a little TV room for kids then. I noticed they don't have that anymore. And it was during the Christmas season. And Dad, I think it's about 5 o'clock in the evening. And I noticed he was gone. But it was okay because Christmas specials, which were just beginning, began to come on right then. Let me tell you, just to cut to the... At 11 o'clock at night, Ben Acri on the Channel 4 News would come on. I got a little concerned whenever I was sick. I knew I wasn't supposed to be watching Ben Acri. I knew that. I don't get to stay up that late. Ben Acri came on. My dad came to the door, and he had pajamas underneath his britches. He did. Wearing bedroom slippers, and, you know, he got in bed. My mother, you know, well, how did David go? David! It was like Home Alone, you know? So that's the truth. That happened. San Lando Hospital in Orlando, Florida. So, but one of the things that kept me from, you know, just coming apart that night, it was the first time they ever had Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. And so right now you're saying he is not going to close with an illustration from Rudolph the Red-Nosed. I am. I'm going to close with an illustration for Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. You all remember Rudolph, the one that Burl Ives sang in. Okay, it's greatest Christmas special ever. It's great. So, first time on, it was the premium. Do you remember in there, you know, Rudolph was like the outcast reindeer, right? And it came to a place, you remember, there was this little island. There was this little island. Do you remember that? Do you remember who was on the island? One of the greatest things I ever saw as a little boy was whenever Santa Claus went to the island of misfit toys, and he gathered up all those little throwaway toys, imperfect, weak, you know, castaway, outcast, little toys from Nazareth. That's really where we are.
Amen.
We live on the island of misfit toys. That's what we are, just castaways. But thank God, Jesus is from Nazareth.
Amen.
He's for castaways.
Amen.
That's the reason you and I have hope. So when they say, listen, when they throw it in your teeth, when the skeptics say, no, really, you believe in a very weak Christ, you believe in a Christ who died. Your Savior died. Your God died. Don't let them get... That's the... Karl Marx did not love the... Karl Marx hated the gospel because the God of the gospel died in weakness. Nothing else could have saved us. In his weakness was the greatest victory that was ever wrought. Don't be ashamed of your Savior when you go back this year. He's still from Nazareth. He's still for outcasts. He's still for the fringe, folks. And thank God. I love you all dearly.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information about Bethlehem Church, visit us online at bethlehempbc.org.